Chapter 1. I gawked at the curvy, gleaming slime girl as the world faded into bright white light around us. I'd expected the oil-slick tendrils of slime that had seeped into the house we'd hastily assembled out of logs to try to eat us, the way it had been for the 3 days we'd spent in its universe. I hadn't expected it to take the shape of a gorgeous woman, tell us its name, and ask to join our motley crew of interdimensional adventurers. But with all that said, this still wasn't the weirdest thing to happen to us. Fila growled deep in her throat and raised one corner of her full pink mouth to show off one of the pearly fangs that curved down over her lower lip. The pupils of her yellow-green eyes narrowed to tiny slits as she gazed at the slime woman. Her black tufted cat ears went flat back against the sides of the thick auburn hair that fell down over her tan shoulders, and her long, tawny black tufted tail stuck straight up behind her. The saber-toothed lion woman's tanned muscles bulged out of her skimpy leather tube top and loincloth, but she didn't throw the spear in her hand at the slime girl. Fila was from a world where Ice Age beast humans still lived in the Stone Age, so her predator drive was strong and her survival instincts were impeccable. If the semi-feral cat girl had decided to stay her hand, then it was possible that the slime wasn't as much of a threat as I'd feared. Floppy unfurled his brown, hairy trunk, grabbed one of the bottles of rubbing alcohol out of the wooden crates we were using to store supplies, and hurled it at the slime girl. The 5-foot-tall woolly mammoth was Fila's pet, but he turned his big head and huge brown eyes toward Emma to see if she had noticed. Emma's delicate, pale hands started to glow with a faint blue light. Her sky-blue eyes lit up like tiny blue flames in her porcelain-skinned face, and the tendrils of wavy black hair that had escaped from her neat bun began to float and curl around her face. The slender beauty dressed like a Gibson girl and spoke like an actress in an old movie, since her world had effectively ended around 1900 when Nikola Tesla's free energy machine had electrocuted the entire world. But the electrical powers that the accident had given her family had allowed her to survive in a depopulated and lightning-ridden wasteland full of ever-running machines and cannibals from Ohio. Emma was a pretty good shot with her lightning bolts, and she'd used her electrical powers to set rubbing alcohol on fire before. The voluptuous slime girl stretched her right arm out in front of her. Her limbs had all approximated human proportions before, but her arm bicep actually grew longer by about 6 inches as she reached toward the spinning bottle. And all four of her fingers grew another knuckle. Her elongated fingers curved around the bottle bonelessly as she snatched it out of the air, and her arm shrank back into her body as she pulled the bottle in. The slime girl held the bottle up in front of her eyes and squinted at the label as the glow around Emma's hands grew. "Emma, wait!" I clapped my hand over the puffy white shoulder of Emma's sleeve. As the slime girl studied the bottle, the tone of her skin changed from the dark rainbow of a gleaming oil slick to the healthy peach of human flesh. Her purple and green tinted hair curled around her shoulders as it transformed to a deep chestnut with faint auburn highlights. Her dancing eyes settled on the same eerie emerald green that had swirled in the depths of her skin. But the gleaming purple of her lips looked like she'd applied frosted lip gloss straight from the 90s. The wave of peach rolled down the slime girl's neck, spread over her shoulders, and crept down the cleavage of her round and featureless breasts. As her skin transformed, clothes began to grow out of her soap bubble curves. A black pleated skirt like Emma's sprouted from her waist, unfurled until it just covered her thighs, and then stopped far short of Emma's ankle-brushing hemline, while a slightly chunkier pair of Emma's gleaming black button-up boots crept all the way up the slime girl's legs until they hit just below her knees. A button-up white shirt emerged from her enticing torso, just as the wave of peach crept down to where her nipples would have been. But the pearl buttons popped themselves open to show off her cleavage almost as soon as they appeared on her body. Finally, a coat in the shape of Emma's long-sleeved black velvet tailcoat, but with the dull brown shine of Fila's leather clothes, formed loosely over her body.
"Our name is Acrasis,"
the slime woman repeated, although it was harder to think of her as a slime woman now that she looked like a slightly naughty schoolgirl.
"We are here to join you."
"How fun,"
Emma grumbled. She raised her hands toward the sky as pale blue sparks began to form around her hands, but she didn't take her eyes off of Acrasis for a second. She twitched her fingers, and 10 bolts of electric blue lightning shot up into the pale blue sky, followed by a teeth-rattling thunderclap. Emma pulled her hands down, but kept them spread out with her palms toward Acrasis.
There's more where that came from in case it does get violent.
Let's just hear what she has to say, I said to Emma and Fila. I turned toward Acrasis and stuck out my hand. Hi, my name's Dave Meyer, but you can call me Dave. It's nice to meet you.
Dave, don't be an idiot. You saw what she did to human flesh. You felt it.
The first time we met you was not a nice occasion for any of us.
Acrasis held out the bottle of rubbing alcohol to me, bottom first.
We tried to eat you, and you tried to harm us. But we are able to control our feeding instincts when we do not want to eat something, and we do not wish to eat you. We promise that all four of you will be safe from us.
Well, that's a relief. I accepted the bottle of rubbing alcohol and tucked it under my arm. So listen, I have a lot of questions.
Yes, we expected so.
Acrasis nodded. She stood straight with her hands dangling at her sides and didn't fidget or even blink as she gazed at me.
We will be happy to answer all of them, but we have some questions of our own as well.
One, are you native to Earth? I began. Two, what the fuck did you do to... No, that's obvious. You ate everyone.
You've clearly got loads of special skills.
Emma interrupted as I tried to pick another question out of the many swirling in my mind.
What are they? Are you the only one of your kind who came along with us?
Fila asked. The saber-toothed cat girl glanced around the four wooden walls of our hastily assembled wooden house.
You wish to know our history, our nature, and if we are alone?
Acrasis nodded.
The last question is the easiest. This body contains all of the protoplasm of our species that we can detect on this world. Now, may I ask a question?
One for one, I said. Seems fair.
Where did you bring us and how? We should be able to sense our plasmodiums, even when we are physically separated, but we cannot.
Well, that's because you're in a parallel universe. I lifted up the hood of the rusty 1972 Lincoln Continental that I'd nicknamed Honest Abe to reveal the gleaming steel console of the dimensional engine patent pending. The red digital readout at the top read 427-3018, but I ignored it, since the quantum signature of the universe we were in meant nothing to me. The yellow digital readout in the middle read 02-18-49-32. And my quick calculations suggested that we had about 2 days before we left at 3 a.m. The green digital readout on the bottom read 33.
What is a parallel universe?
Acrasis asked as she walked up beside me. She bent her head and stared down at the console.
And what do those numbers mean?
We're in another timeline, where things happened pretty differently than they did in your world, or mine, or any of ours, I said. I pressed the arrow that sat over the hour button 4 times and watched the numbers roll over to 02, 22, 48, 56. The red numbers tell us where we are, but I have no idea what they mean. The yellow numbers mean we have about 2 days here, and the green numbers tell us how wide our circular pocket dimension is, since it adds 6 meters in diameter every time we travel. This machine brought us here, and in 2 days it's going to take us to another timeline. My father invented it, and now I'm pretty sure he's dead, and if we stay in any universe for more than 3 days, then bad monsters are going to come after us. Or so he said. Does that answer most of your questions?
It is a sufficient response,
Acrasis said, and then she looked up from the console, then leaned against the side of the car. Her gleaming green eyes flicked from my face to Emma's, to Fila's, and then back again.
Now we will answer your other questions.
I am ready to hear your story.
Fila patted Floppy, laid her spear down in the dirt, and then sat down cross-legged next to it. She curled her bare, golden-furred toes under her feet as she settled herself into position.
Don't think you can try to make us feel sorry for you.
Emma still held her palms out toward Acrasis in her attack position.
Not after you ate all those people. And don't try to deny it. We know it was you.
Yes, that was our mother plasmodium,
Acrasis said. Her voice was cool, calm, and nearly neutral, even as she admitted to her genophagy of the Earth.
We came from a harsh world of water and rocks. We were not the first beings that left the water, but we survived for a long time. The life forms that came out of the water were simple at first, like us, and we only had to learn to secrete the weakest of acids in order to dissolve and extract their nutrients. Over time, the life forms became more complex. They evolved harder skin and learned to secrete chemicals that hurt us. We did not change in form, but we did learn to manipulate our protoplasm and the nutrients that we absorbed so that we were not harmed by their chemicals. We learned how to make stronger acid that would eat through their skin.
Did you ever go in the water?
Emma asked.
You seem to have survived perfectly well for the last couple of days. I imagine you stuffed yourself on fish.
We do not normally go into the water, although we have spread ourselves thin enough to float before. We clung to the side of the island as the water level changed, but we did manage to catch enough fish to replenish ourselves to human size, as you can see. The fish in that water were not very wary.
And us without fishing poles, I grumbled. I'd wanted to raid the sporting goods store in the slime-eaten universe, but it had been in the middle of a huge going-out-of-business sale and had been picked clean of nearly everything remotely useful. So you're not from Earth. How did you travel through space, stowing away on a ship?
Our home broke apart suddenly. We had been one big plasmodium for as long as we had lived. Every time one of our cells grew large enough to split, it had split inside the plasmodium. We had gotten large enough to cover a large portion of our planet's ground, but suddenly we were ripped into pieces.
Look, I'm a liberal arts major. I held up my hands. I'm not really a biology guy. I know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, but I'm not sure what a plasmodium is. You might have to break down the mechanics a little for me before you keep going.
The body is a single cell,
Acrasis explained. She gestured up and down her voluptuous body.
We can change the shape, the permeability of our membrane, and our color when we need to. We can also make copies of ourselves by simply splitting in half. When we touch each other, we can talk through our thoughts, and we can exchange fluid if we allow ourselves to. The longer we are together, and the more fluid we continue to exchange, the more our thoughts become one, and sometimes we can even merge. For most of our history, all we did was eat, grow, and make new copies of ourselves.
Did anything else survive on land?
Emma exclaimed.
Or was it just you and the rocks, gobbling up anything that dared to poke its nose out of the water?
We find cellulose indigestible, so some plants took root on the land, although sometimes we would go and cull them with our strongest acids. After a while, we also grew intelligent enough to understand that it was in our best interest to cultivate enough for us to eat. So, we stopped consuming every single animal that tried to make its way up onto the shore, and began to cultivate herds of the most nutrient-rich ones we found. We would kill off the plants our food creatures shunned, so that the plants they ate would spread. And we even found ways to transport their seeds and put the right nutrients back into the soil.
So you invented agriculture via single-cell slime mold? I said. I'm not going to lie, that's pretty impressive.
What tore you apart?
Emma asked.
Was it a claw or a blade or the jaws of some giant predator?
We never saw it. The ground broke apart under us very quickly. We tried to keep hold of the chunks of dirt that we'd sunk our tendrils into, but we couldn't grip hard enough to keep the deep rock from breaking apart, and after that, there was no keeping the planet together. We were torn into pieces faster than we could strengthen our outer membrane.
So your planet broke apart. Did you feel an impact or see anything weird in the sky? Maybe a really huge comet smashed into your planet?
No. We did not look up at the sky often. We did not feel any warning either. One minute, we were spread out on the surface of the ground with the sun shining down on us. And the next minute, we were floating in a black void with little white specks and trying to wrap ourselves around what was left of our dirt and animals. We could not keep our animals from dying, but we found that they did not rot if we kept them on the outside of our body. We rationed the animals out slowly, but soon we were reduced to sucking the nutrients out of the dirt. We could feel ourselves shrinking.
Is that when you landed on Earth?
Fila asked.
That was when we took a new form for the first time in our existence. This part is always a little hard to remember, because this is when the daughter cells are separated from the mother plasmodium. We remember that it got harder and harder to move, and that we got sleepier and sleepier until the white speckles around us all faded into the black. Then we don't remember anything until we woke up in a pile of moist, rotted vegetation on that planet which you found us.
And that's when you started to go about eating everything?
Emma said, her sky-blue eyes narrowed at a crisis.
Just eating and eating until everything in the world was gone?
But you'd figured out how to cultivate animals on your planet, so you had a source of food, I said. Why did you kill off everything on Earth?
We were not able to consume every animal on the planet immediately. We had to gain strength and mass back. We started feeding on the tiny things like us in the water, and then the crawling insects, and then the smaller vertebrates. We sent tendrils out to investigate the planet and see what kind of animals there were and how we could consume them without putting ourselves into harm's way. And we discovered humans and their society. We saw how humans reacted to things that came from places they did not understand, with forms that did not look like them, and hunger that could not be satisfied easily. We even saw something much like ourselves frozen to death as a crowd cheered and applauded. We knew that we would not be welcomed, no matter how we introduced ourselves.
You saw the blob with Steve McQueen, didn't you? I asked. You know that was just a movie, right? A fictional story, something that didn't really happen.
The story may have been pretend, but the applause was real. We took our time and fed on local wildlife while we put out tendrils all over the world. We divided into copy on copy of ourselves and grew hungrier and hungrier as we stretched. But at last, we were ready to strike. We managed to envelop, suffocate, and consume every human being on the planet in less than a day.
And nobody fought back or escaped?
Emma shook her head.
I can't possibly believe that.
They fought back, but they could not escape.
Acrasis answered. The neutral expression on her face never even changed.
Some of us were injured or killed. Some of us were even temporarily separated from the others. But the first wave of unsuspecting humans gave us strength and speed beyond any we had even known. We rolled across the earth in mighty waves that no human could outrun. If they got into a vehicle, we would be there to meet them when their fuel ran out.
Okay, so kill all the humans before they kill you is a solid strategy, I said. I get it.
David Meyer!
Emma gasped.
How can you say such a thing?
Emma, I know your world never got a chance to develop B-grade sci-fi movies, but you understand humans and warfare, right?
If you're referring to being invaded by a hostile alien force bent on killing off the inhabitants so that they can use their resources, I've studied the history of the British Empire. And yes, I've also read H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. If you really think that the humans are the villains in that particular narrative...
I'm just talking about occupational strategy, not making a moral judgment, I said. Can we let her finish? You of all people should know that stuff still happens after the world ends.
Finish.
Emma nodded at Acrasis, but she crooked her fingers.
We ate all of the humans,
Acrasis continued, her voice, face, and body just as neutral and blank as they had been before.
But we had gorged ourselves on 7 billion people. We were huge, but we could not sustain our own mass. We began to shrink again almost as soon as we had fully absorbed the last human body. We had been planning to cultivate all of the animals that were left, but we panicked. We started to eat and eat and eat.
That is a mistake I have made before,
Fila said. She was snuggled up against Floppy, who'd flopped right down onto the dirt next to her at some point during a crisis story.
When I have found food after not eating for too long, sometimes I have eaten it all in hopes that it would restore my strength and then regretted it because I did not ration it. You learn these things after you've been on your own for a while.
We ran out of food quickly. It was too easy to just keep eating with the animals clustered into little pens. The wild beasts were harder to gorge ourselves on, but we still ate all of the ones we could catch, or chase them with waves of protoplasm until they were too weary to move. What about the birds and the flying insects?
Fila propped her chin on her bald fist. Her claws weren't even out.
How did you consume them?
We were able to snatch some of the larger ones out of the air, but we mostly waited until they landed. We weren't always fast enough climbing the trees, and often they would get away. But we learned that eggs were edible, and when the birds' eggs were no more, we ate all of the insect eggs that we could find. We consumed every scrap of animal-based protein on the planet, no matter what shape it was in. We even ate the things that were rotting and full of toxins. It was easy enough to expel the toxins before they harmed any of us.
So, you ate up all of the planet's resources without thinking about the future? And now you expect us to take care of you?
Emma shook her head.
We've got slim enough pickings as it is, I'm afraid.
We were not wise. But we have spent years learning from the mistakes we have made and examining the genetic material and psychic impressions of the beings we absorbed. We have learned more in the 7 years we have spent on this planet than we learned in the millions of years we spent on our home planet. We no longer wish to spend all of our time eating and mindlessly splitting in half.
Most beings do not wish for more than a full belly and a mate for their children,
Fila said.
What else is it that you want?
We want to not be lonely.
Acrasis swiveled her head toward me, lowered her eyelids halfway, and stared into my eyes. The slime woman seemed like she was trying to perform Emma's trick of gazing up lovingly through her eyelashes. She didn't smile or blink, though, so it looked more like she was sizing me up through narrowed eyes.
We want to talk to another mind that we do not immediately understand. We want to find out what else there is beyond pure survival. When we connected with Emma and Fila, we felt the love that was in their psyches for Dave, and that emotion did not go away after we lost our physical connection. That is why we took a form we thought would be pleasing to Dave.
Wait, you connected with our psyches when you tried to eat us? I asked. I didn't feel any psychic connection. All I felt was pain.
We received a brief impression of your psyches. It was not very deep or detailed, but it was strong. We also absorbed enough of your genetic material to imitate all three of you whenever we wish.
Acrasis' delicate features morphed quickly into a perfect copy of me. Her peach skin turned pale olive, her chestnut tresses poofed out into my coiled black mop, and her delicate nose settled into a perfect imitation of my long, straight honker. Her jaw broadened and grew 2 weeks' worth of stubble. That is an amazing trick, I began. But I'm starting to get a little freaked out by looking at my head on a gorgeous woman's body. I just kind of rather not mix and match, you know?
Yes. Humans often seem uncomfortable with that.
Acrasis morphed back into her custom-built personal head.
The concept of sexual reproduction is quite new to us, you see. We have spent several years trying to work it out for ourselves, and we have identified 74 different potential sexes within our plasmodium at the last count. We are looking forward to trying it with a species that has mastered it. Which is to say, with you in particular, Dave.
You want to make cubs with David Myers?
Fila asked.
This I understand more than the other words you said. He has good seed.
Yes,
the slime girl said as she looked back at me with unblinking eyes.
We can create David's image, but it is not the actual DNA code. We are looking forward to receiving his sperm vaginally and combining it with eggs we have imprinted with our genetic code. This will potentially create a new species hybrid that will be capable of incredible potential. It will be a mix of Dave and us, and that will please us to look upon and nurture this new entity alongside David Myers, Fila, and Emma, and their respective offspring.
Did you just say you want my babies?
And do you want to raise them together with the children Fila and I give Dave?
Emma deadpanned.
That is correct,
the being said as she stared at Emma. Well, okay then. I'd never thought of love as a telepathically contagious emotion, but it seemed like love had actually saved our lives this time. I wasn't sure exactly how I felt about Acrasis yet, but she was beautiful, and she already loved me, and it was pretty hard to turn down something like that.
If we decide to take you along as a traveling companion, that is,
Emma interjected in a sharp tone. She jerked her head toward the Model T.
Dave, Fila, may I speak to you in the Model T, please?
Acrasis turned like a sunflower to watch us all as we walked toward the classic car, climbed inside, and closed the doors. Her gleaming green eyes didn't even blink as she gazed levelly at us. She reminded me a little of Hal in the scene where Dave Bowman and Frank talk about him in the escape pod. Dave, I could see your lips move, I muttered to myself. I twisted around in the driver's seat of the Model T to face the girls, then rubbed my hands together. All right, ladies. Acrasis. Pros? Cons? Thoughts?
You can't possibly be seriously considering adding her to our little group,
Emma protested as soon as the doors were closed.
She's responsible for consuming every single breathing thing on Earth.
She is a strong creature with many abilities that none of us have. She already cares for us as a pack, and she wants to have Dave Meyer's cubs just like we do.
Fila had climbed into the back seat, and then she glanced at Acrasis through the window, then leaned forward.
I think she will be a good addition to the pack.
And you believe all that about being lonely and wanting to love?
Emma spluttered.
She was trying to eat us just a few days ago. A predator doesn't stop being hungry.
I went from wanting to kill Dave for stealing my food to wanting to be his mate in just 2 days,
Fila reminded her. She brushed her nose against my hair and sniffed.
I do not know why anyone would lie about loving Dave, especially when he smells so good. Even if he was not so generous and kind, I would still want to mate with him just because of that smell.
My smell? I gave my own armpit a sniff test. Seriously? That's the hottest thing about me?
It tells me that our cubs will be strong. Smelling you makes my womb ache and the place between my legs slick. Even if my mind did not love you, my body needs to make cubs with you.
Forget the mating for just a moment, you two,
Emma broke in.
It's clearly a clever strategy on that slimy girl's part. We've already beaten her back several times, and she knows that we're capable of doing it again. She's just waiting for us to let down our guards and start to trust her. The moment our backs are turned, she'll gobble us all up.
If she was going to surprise us, she would not have shown herself like that. She would have lurked in waiting, eaten smaller animals, and then probably consumed us in our sleep when she felt that she was powerful enough. Instead, she showed herself to us, did not attack us even when we tried to attack her, and told us all about how her people mate. She has spent her entire life in a pack, and now that pack is gone. It makes sense that she's lonely. If we accept her as part of her new pack, I believe that she will do everything in her power to protect us from harm.
You both raise good points, I said. But Fila, I'm kind of surprised that you're willing to trust Acrasis this easily. You're always so wary.
I understand predators, and I understand packs. I do not know if humans are pack animals, but my people are.
We're social creatures, I said. I saw a lot of people every day at work, but by the time I got home, I was so peopled out that sometimes I didn't even want to talk to my roommate. I would just lock myself in my bedroom, put on a lo-fi stream, and play a dumb puzzle game on my Switch.
I do not understand any of those words. Our pack is everything. We do not leave it unless we have to. When we break off to hunt or gather, we go in groups. We do not feel safe if we are alone. I know how a pack predator thinks, and Acrasis is a pack predator. She will hunt with us when we hunt, and she will protect us if we are attacked.
Like a stray pup,
Emma said, and she glanced behind her at Fila.
Or a stray kitten.
Exactly, but without being a pet, I said, because we don't have sex with our pets.
Then I suppose both of you are in favor?
Emma turned back to me and raised an eyebrow.
Simply because she batted her eyes and wiggled at you?
I know it's a figure of speech, but she literally doesn't blink or make any unnecessary movements, I said. And I have to admit, it's a little eerie. But I'm with Fila here. If she was going to try and eat us, she'd have done it already. I think she's sincere.
I suppose that if she doesn't even know how to blink, she's hardly capable of much subterfuge.
Emma glanced out the window at the unmoving Acrasis.
I suppose you're right. She does seem rather pathetic, doesn't she?
That's three for our new friend. I hopped out of the Model T, went over to Honest Abe, and grabbed one of the silver-speckled green pills out of the bottle that I'd stowed in his glove compartment. I palmed the pill, went over to Acrasis, and held out the glittery tablet on my palm. Acrasis, this pill will allow you to speak and understand any written or spoken language in any universe that we come across. It makes you an official member of our family.
I am glad that you've chosen to bring me along.
Acrasis bent her head, pressed her lips to my palm, and sucked the pill into her mouth. Her lips were smooth, plump, and a little slick on my skin, and I didn't feel the unpleasant tingling burn that I had the last time our bodies had touched. She tossed her chestnut hair over her shoulder as she pulled away from my hand.
I look forward to learning your ways.
Well, the first thing we need to do is explore what's around us, I breathed. The last time I'd had a girl eat something out of my hand had been in some overpriced college bar in Midtown. It had been the line of salt that went with her eighth shot of tequila, and she'd barfed all over my shirt a few seconds later. I enjoyed Acrasis's mouth against my hand much more than that particular experience.
I can always slip under the planks to see.
Nah, we need a door anyway, now that we're probably not underwater, I said. I glanced up at the stars that twinkled in the pure black sky. It's still a little while until sunrise, so we won't be able to see anything if we leave now. We measured, marked lines, reinforced, nailed, and then cut. By the time we had finished cutting out a door that was large enough for Floppy, the sky above us was a deep navy blue that had begun to fade toward the bright bluish gray of dawn. We carefully pulled the door out of its hole, propped it up against the side of the wall, and ventured outdoors. The trees all looked dark gray in the dim light of the rising sun, but their silhouettes looked as familiar as any had during our excursion through the multiverse. The branches branched, the leaves rustled like maple and oak, and the woodsy, smoky smell of rural Farmington during bonfire season sank into my nostrils. The familiar look and smell of the forest didn't make me feel any better, though.
We're being watched,
Fila growled deep in her throat. She dropped into a defensive crouch and brandished her spear at the darkness.
I feel it too,
Emma whispered. She raised her hands and her fingertips started to glow with bright blue light.
Don't spark up,
I whispered at Emma as a jab of fear pierced my heart.
They'll see it.
If we are being watched, then they already see us,
Acrasis pointed out in a low tone.
The additional light will help us see them.
Logic, I agreed. Fila, you've got the best night vision out of us all. Where are they?
Everywhere around us,
Fila hissed. She pointed her spear off toward the right.
Do you see the closest pair there? It is black, but it shines.
Oh, shit, I whispered. Once I saw the twin shine of light on black irises, I could see them everywhere around us. At least half a dozen sets of black eyes were peering out at us from between the trees. Whoever the eyes belonged to, they had us surrounded.